Tonight, I want us to begin to talk about what I have called and titled The Fundamentals of Divine Provision. The Fundamentals of Divine Provision. I know that at different times on our pulpit, on our Sunday services especially, we've delved a lot. I remember some of the teachings on My Good Shepherd, where we talked about the Lord who provides for us, the ministry of provision or divine provision, and there are so many other messages where we've addressed the issue of divine provision. But I just sense a release in my spirit in this season to go back and revisit and do a little bit more in-depth study on some of the things that the Lord will seek to show us in the area of divine provision. There's probably not a better time to learn and to be reminded about the principles of divine provision than times like this, times of uncertainty, times of difficulty all over the world. And even if you are not experiencing any difficulty, there's just so much uncertainty. There's so much, there's no assurance about what's likely to happen tomorrow. Nobody knows. Nobody really knows. And so the Lord seeks to bring us light in this area so that we can be constantly hooked up to Him. We can be constantly ingrained in His Word, not just in this area, every other area, but right now in this season, especially in this area. And so as we go through it, I'm going to encourage you, let's read the Word together. I'm not going to do what we usually do in services where there's a lot of pressure for time and all of that. Yep, it's a one-hour service even here on Wednesdays, and that's all right. Praise God, we have another opportunity to come back wherever we leave it off. You know, we'll come back again when the Lord gives us the release to pick it up from wherever we stop. But the pressure isn't there to try to abbreviate everything. You know what I mean? So I'm going to have us read the Word. I'm going to have us look into the Word. And I trust God that as we enter into that Word, the understanding that we need will be granted unto us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Now, I want you to go with me to that popular scripture. Most people can probably recite this scripture verbatim, just offhand, like that, without even thinking about it. But I don't want us to do that. I want us to go and read it. I want us to read it. I want us to start our discussion on the fundamentals of divine provision from this scripture here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. This is what it says. It says, "But my God," this is in the King James, "but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Wherever you are, wherever you are, can you read that scripture with me tonight? Let's read it together. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. I'm actually reading from the King James Version. Let's read it together. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Oh, glory be to God. "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Not according to the economy, not according to what's going on around the world, not according to what's going on in your country, in your nation, or your city, wherever you live. No, but according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you know there's no recession in heaven. All right, we'll get to that in a minute. Now, before I break down this scripture and have us actually look at a few stories in the Bible, we'll pick it up from here tonight and see how the Lord leads us as we go. And when we come back to it, we'll pick it up from wherever we stop. Before I have us kind of you know, pull the pieces of this scripture apart, I want to show you something that you may not have seen before in the reading of this scripture. I know that a lot of times people quote it, and I know later on I'll probably even come and do a little bit of more of an expose around the text generally, around the body of the scripture, kind of looking at quite a number of scriptures leading to verse 19. So we're not just reading verse 19 in isolation. There is a need to have context. There's a need to have context. And I know my eyes are on my clock, as they always usually are. That's because, you know, I tend to sometimes get excited in the word and I can go over, but I'm not going to go over. I have a clock right in front of me. So I'm going to do my best, and the Holy Spirit is going to help me, where we're going to get as much as we need to get done tonight with the word. Amen. Now, I want to show you something that you may not have seen before in the reading of this scripture, where Paul says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, certainly you've seen it before. I just don't know that it has stood out to you. I don't know that it has ministered to you. It has, you have had a revelation of it, of this, what I'm about to show you. Now, this scripture we just read, that's verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4. Paul wrote this scripture. This particular book is written to the Philippian church. This was one of the churches that the Lord helped him plant. It's one of the churches that stood with him and supported him a lot, even when many of the other churches absolutely just were not there for him. This church stood with him and helped him go further. There's a power, there's a beauty in sowing seeds and reaping a harvest and being able to use that harvest to sow more seeds. That's really our calling as believers. That's what we're called to do. Every blessing that the Lord gives us, every time you receive a blessing in your life, I don't care what you do. You might be a professional, you might be a stay-at-home mom or dad, a single parent, someone who is in school, a student, a young person who's just really starting out in life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whenever you receive a harvest from the Lord, it's very important to always think the first thing about that blessing that the Lord gives you is, how can I use that to further or to advance the purposes of God in my life? When, unfortunately, that's not how a lot of us think about it. The way a lot of us think about it is usually when we receive God's blessings, the first thing we want to do, there's nothing wrong with taking care of ourselves, our needs, and that's certainly one of the reasons why God blesses us. But I want to encourage you when the Lord brings any kind of increase into your life, whether it was expected increase, whether it was unexpected increase, the first thing we ought to think about is, what part of this blessing can I use to further and to advance the purpose and the purposes of God through my life? Don't always think, how can I use it for myself? Oh, that pair of new shoes that I wanted to, that new car. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings of God in your life that he gives you. But I want you to be more, I want you to be a sower. I want you to be seed oriented. I want you to be harvest oriented. I want you to be kingdom oriented. I want you to be vision oriented. I want you to think first, what part of this blessing of the Lord in my life can I use to be a blessing to the purposes of God through my life? So powerful. That's really powerful. So he wrote this letter to the Philippian church. This was one of the churches that really helped him get beyond planting their church. They helped him get more of the work of the kingdom done in different places where the Lord sent him. But the one thing I wanted to show you is in getting to verse 19, he actually wrote you know, a number of verses ahead of this, talking about how he was thankful for their seed, for their gift, and not that he was looking for their gift, but he was looking for fruits that will abound to their account and everything. He talked about how they sent blessings to him again and again, not just a one-time blessing, but how they stood with him, and awesome. But when he got to verse 18, which is the verse just before verse 19, when he got to verse 18, he actually said something remarkable. I don't know that many of us, now I certainly haven't thought this before. I think I may have seen it, but I haven't even really seen it as clearly as the Lord helped me see it a little while ago while I was studying this passage, right? So in verse 18, Paul was talking from a place of abundance. He was speaking from a place of sufficiency. He was still on the field. He was still doing the work, the assignment. He was still a missionary. He was still a minister of the gospel, an apostle, going all over the region of the different places where the Lord sent him. But at this moment, as he's writing the Philippian, writing this letter to the Philippian church, he's writing from a place of sufficiency. Actually, at this point, he had all his needs met. At this point, he had everything he needed was supplied. And also, he had just received some gift. He had just received some gift from the brethren, from the believers. And so, he's writing verse 19, using verse 18 as a point of reference. There were certainly times in his life when he didn't have. There were certainly times in his life when he did not abound, when he lacked, when he didn't have sufficiency. There were certainly times in his life when he didn't have the increase that he wanted. But at this particular moment in his life, he's writing from a place of sufficiency. He's writing from a place of abundance. And then he's saying to the believers, he's saying to God's people, you know, the same way that I'm writing from a place of abundance, a place of sufficiency, God wants to bring you to a place of abundance. God wants to bring you to a place of sufficiency. Now, that may sound so strange, so foreign to what the reality of our experiences are, wherever we are in our lives, that's okay. But remember, we don't judge God and we don't judge the Word of God by our experiences. We judge God by His Word. We judge God by His faithfulness. And the Lord said, He said very clearly to the Philippian church, to the believers, He said, listen, just in the same way that I experience this abundance from the Lord, I want you to know that my God, the same God that gave me this sufficiency, the same God that gave me this abundance, the same God that provided all I needed, is able to supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, it's very interesting because some aspect of the Philippian, the letter to the Philippian church was actually written from prison. Paul was writing from prison. You know, the scripture where he said to them, rejoice, and I say to you, rejoice. Theologians say he actually wrote that particular verse in prison. In a very difficult time, at a very difficult time in his life. And yet he said to the church, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say to you, rejoice. A lot of the things that he wrote to the Philippian church, he wasn't writing from a place where he had all that he wanted, all the liberty and everything. And yet in this scripture, he says, I have all. I want you to read verse 18 with me. Look at it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, but I have all. Hallelujah. Can you say those words with me? But I have all. What does that mean? What does I have all mean? It means I have all. I have all means I have all. It means everything I need to fulfill my purpose right now. Everything I need to serve God's purpose. Everything I need to carry out my assignment in my life to my generation right now. I have it. He says, I have all. But he doesn't stop there. He says, and I abound. He says, and I abound. I have all and I abound. Child of God, wherever you are tonight, listening to the sound of my voice as the Holy Spirit ministers this message to us, I want you, by the Spirit of God, to get a vision for your life. I want you to get a vision for your family. I want you to get a vision for your future. I want you to get a vision for your assignment, whatever that may be. I want you to get a vision for the different aspects of the assignment that the Lord has committed to you, or the aspects of the assignment that he has called you to be a part of that may be led by somebody else. I want you to get a vision for abundance in every area of your life. I don't care where you are. You could be somewhere in the rural village, somewhere in Africa, somewhere in Asia, somewhere in wherever. You could be in the wealthiest city on earth. It doesn't matter. I want you to get a vision for the abundance that the Lord has for you. Listen, if Paul in prison could talk about having all and abounding, certainly, wherever you are, that's why when he got into verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4, he said, my God, glory to God, glory to God, feel the Holy Spirit, I speak so much power, so much anointing in this studio. He said, my God. Notice he didn't say, my job. Hallelujah, glory to God. Notice he didn't say, my parents. Notice it didn't say my spouse. Notice it didn't say my 401k. Notice it didn't say my sponsors, my supporters. It didn't say my church, my givers, or it didn't say my God. Even in the prison, Paul says, I know who my source is. Yes, there are so many channels that God can use to bless us. There's so many channels that God can use to meet the needs in our lives. But I want you to understand, God is the only source. God is the only source of every blessing that would ever come into our lives. Into my life and into your life. He said, my God. And everything else may fail. Everything else may fail. But my God will never fail. But I want you to notice, Paul said, my God. My God. He's the one who never fails. He's the one who is not subject to the elements. He's not subject to economic data. He's not subject to political fluctuations. He's not subject to pandemic. He's not so. My God shall, he said. He shall. Now, this God, I want you to notice when he wrote Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 and said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want you to notice in this scripture that Paul actually just received a gift through one of the many channels that God can use. In this case, it was the channel of the believers in the Philippian church. They had just sent him a gift. I don't know what this gift was. But it seemed like this was a robust gift. It seemed like this was a very good gift. It seemed like this was the kind of a gift that helped him to address some needs that existed in his life before this gift was released to him. In verse 18, he said, I have all and I abound. Notice he said, I am full. I am full. Hallelujah. I am full. In the Amplified, he says, I have everything I need. Glory to God. Glory to God. I have everything I need. It's like in Psalm 23, where David, the psalmist, he wrote the Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have everything I need. I lack for nothing. I lack for nothing. Paul said, I'm full. I have everything I need. Then he says, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. I don't know what these things were. I don't know what these things were, but God bless the Philippian church and the generations after them. Whatever those things were, they met the need in the life of this servant of God. To the point where he said, I have everything I need, having received this gift. And then he said, these gifts are actually a pleasant, a sweet smelling aroma because they were sacrificial gifts. These gifts were given by the Philippian church as a sign of their sacrifice. When I did my test run in the studio, of course, I was speaking normally, you know. I was like, yeah, I was anointed. I was speaking the message too, but maybe I was not as anointed as I feel right now. I just feel so excited by the word of God. I feel so much that the power of God is going through the airwaves. The power of God is changing something. The power of God is stirring something in people's lives. I want you to know that God is committed to your well-being. God is committed to your provision. God is committed to your supply. God is committed to everything you need wherever you are in the world. It is not going to be through a man. It is not going to be through some institution, through some government. Yes, those are channels that God can use, but it is my God. It is my God that supplies all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I've spent more time on this beginning, this opening. This is still my opening. I'm still trying to introduce this subject. I might use the entire service tonight to introduce it, and who knows when I come back to it. But, you know, God gives us understanding. You go study it out. Whatever the Lord ministers to us will remain in our spirit, and when we come back to it, we'll have more. Amen. Now, I want to say this to you. Times will change. Someone once said, the only thing that is constant in life is change. I don't know about you, but one of the most significant decisions that I have made in my life, and I made that decision so many years ago, one of the most significant decisions that I've made in my life is, no matter what happens, God will always be my source. No matter what happens, God will always be my source. Over the years, and I should say over the decades, I've learned to train myself to not pay too much attention to the channels God uses. I'm very thankful and I'm very appreciative and I highly esteem and honor and constantly pray for, constantly bless the so many people that God uses and that he has used through my journey from way back then when I was a young minister trying to find my way till all of the aspects of my journey to where I am today. The Lord has certainly used so many blessed people. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. My life would not be what it is today without all those people, different people and different seeds and different ways in which people have blessed me and supported. Just like Paul, I feel almost like I'm sitting where Paul was sitting when he wrote this letter. Like Paul was writing to that Philippian church, saying to them, the reason I have all and I abound is my God, is because my God is my source, but it's also because he used you. It's also because you yielded to him. Not everybody yielded to him, but you yielded to him. I feel so good about that. I'm so thankful. But I trained myself to never focus on the channels. I appreciate them. I honor, I bless, I celebrate them, but I never, ever focus on them. See, it's very easy to latch on to what is familiar. And if we allow ourselves to latch on to what is familiar and to become so dependent on what is familiar, we will never be able to enter into the fullness that God has prepared. See, God is an unconventional God. God is a God of miracles. Have you heard some of his names? He's El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Yireh. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's the God of all abundance. He's the God of all provision. He has everything we need. Hallelujah. God is the God who never has a lack. He never has a lack. Well, that's the one to latch onto, because he always has something new. You know, in Isaiah 43 verse 18, he said, I will do a new thing. So forget the former things. He said, don't even think about the former things. Don't remember the things of old. He said, because I will do a new thing. See, God is a God of new things. God wants to amaze his people. I'm telling you, on the authority of the word of God, I'm so confident about what I'm telling you tonight. God wants to amaze you. Wherever you are tonight, put your hand on your chest, on your heart. Say with me, God will amaze me. Say one more time, God will amaze me. Say one more time for emphasis. God will amaze me. He wants to do that. He wants to do that. I have so many scriptures to go through. I only just got started. And yet it looks like I'm stuck here, where the Lord just wants me to speak this to you. I want you to establish it in your life. God is my only source. He uses many channels, but God is my only and he's my true source. He uses many channels, but God is my only and he's my true source. He uses many channels. And I want you to latch on to God, because he's faithful. No matter the ups and the downs, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what happens with the different channels that God uses, God is faithful. God is ever constant. Change is constant, but God is constant. Hallelujah. Change is constant, but God is constant. God is the one who can help you live like a king, both in the palace and in the prison. Because he's constant. Paul is writing from the prison. He's writing like a king. Hallelujah. There are kings that wrote, and I'm going to show you one of them, a prime minister, before my time runs out tonight. I want to take you from Philippians 4:19. I want to take you to Genesis 45. I want to show you a few things before I close out tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, Paul is writing from prison and he's writing like he's a king. He's writing like he has no need, yet he's writing from prison. See, change is constant. Change is constant. But God is constant. No matter the changes that come into our lives, no matter the ups and downs, the upheavals, and the God is constant. The Lord will be with us in the palace. The Lord will be with us in the prison. The Lord will be with us when times are good. The Lord will be with us when times are not so good. The Lord will be with us when we feel like we're on top of the world. The Lord will be with us when we feel like we're underneath everything. Change is constant, but God is constant. He will never fail. Now, let's piece this scripture apart, Philippians 4:19, in the last 20 minutes that we have here in this service. Let's piece this scripture apart. He says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I've talked a little bit about my God. Most of what I've been talking about tonight is about my God. The God who is constant in the midst of change. The God who never changes when everything else does. That's my God. He's my source of every good thing, of every blessing. That's my God. But then he says, he shall supply. He shall supply. Some translations say he will fill to the full, or he will liberally supply. So this God who is faithful and constant has a plan to fill your life to the full. This God who is constant, who has more than enough, has a plan to liberally supply everything that you need. This God, who is constant, has a plan to amaze you on your journey. He has a plan to amaze you on your journey. He said he shall supply. He will fill to the full. He won't just give you, he won't give you little drops, one spoon at a time, one little cup at a time. No, he will supply, he will liberally fill, he will liberally supply to the full, to overflow. My God shall supply. Then notice the next thing he says, all your need, all your need, everything you need, God is committed to meeting every need in your life. God is committed to meeting every need in your life. Some needs in our lives we can easily talk about. Some needs in our lives we can't easily talk about because we just, for some reason or the other, we really don't want to talk about it. We don't think people will understand, or maybe it's a little embarrassing to even talk about it. But he says, my God will supply all your need. Everything you need will be supplied by the Lord. Everything you need will be provided by the Lord. Everything. Whether it concerns your spiritual life, I know in this case, he's talking more in terms of their material needs, their financial needs, the needs of resources, needs for the different things they need for their lives and their assignments. I understand that. But I'm just telling you that the Lord has a plan to supply every need in our lives. He has a plan to supply every need in our lives. He will supply all your need. Now, how? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How is he going to do it? According to his riches in glory. Who is he going to use? Christ Jesus. According to his riches in glory, who is he going to use? Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice, he supplies all our need according to his riches in glory. Not according to the changing times. You remember one of the stories we're going to read later on is the story of Elijah. When the famine hit, the Lord said to Elijah, go to the brook. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah went to the brook. Here he was enjoying the blessings of the brook, the flowing brook. The ravens were feeding him every day, bringing him the meal he needed. Some time ago, I was amazed, blessed by one of our ministers, who enlightened me and told me that ravens are stingy. And that blessed me so much to find out that God met his servant's need through stingy ravens. God can use anything. Glory to God. But the time came, the brook dried up. And when the brook dried up, the Lord said to Elijah, all right, I have commanded. I want you to go and I want you to turn eastward. He gave him specific direction. One of the things you are going to find out as we go, God's direction is always linked to God's provision. Oh God, I got to say that again. One of the things you are going to find out as we go, it may not be in this service, it may be in subsequent ones when we come back to talk about this, God's direction is always linked, it's always connected with God's provision. God's provision is always linked, is always connected with God's direction. Wherever God directs the sheep, that's where he keeps provision. The provision that we need is in places where God has prepared them. The provision is not everywhere, but the provision is in places where God has prepared them. When we walk in line with God's direction, that's why one of the most powerful things a child of God can learn is about divine direction, how to be guided by the Lord. And I know in a number of our services we've talked about that, and we'll keep doing that in the future as the Lord grants us grace. But one of the most important things a believer can learn is how to know God's direction, is how to know God's guidance. Because where the Lord leads, the Lord provides. Where the Lord leads, the Lord blesses. Where the Lord leads, the Lord favors. Amen. So he said to Elijah, commanded this woman, this widow. And so the times change, but God was constantly committed to that man's provision. All right. He said, it's according to his riches in glory. That is, his riches in glory, he always has more than enough. He's El Shaddai. There is no recession in heaven. No austerity in heaven. God always has more than enough. And if God always has more than enough, and you and I are walking in covenant relationship with this more than enough God, then that means God, who has this more than enough, can always share with us this more than enough at different times and seasons of our lives. That's why Paul in prison can have more than enough. It wasn't just Joseph in the palace. Yes, Joseph had more than enough. But Paul in prison had more than enough as well. Why? It was the same God. The same God that was providing resources for Joseph was the same God that was providing resources for his servant Paul in the prison. It's 8:50. I want to go and talk to you, and I want us to go and read about Joseph and how he settled, how he brought his brothers, his brethren into the land of Egypt in a time of great famine, and how he settled them in a place called Goshen. Goshen. And I really want to go there and show you the correlation between Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and Joseph and his brothers in the land of Goshen in Genesis chapter 45 and Genesis chapter 47. I want to show you the correlation between Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lord over the storehouse of heaven. That's why he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Not in this, according to his poverty in glory. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Lord and Savior, our High Priest, our King and our Master, Jesus Christ, he is the Lord over the treasury of heaven. Hallelujah. He is the Lord over the treasury of heaven. Just like Joseph in the land of Egypt was the Lord over the storehouse. All the storehouses in the land of Egypt that had been piled full with resources, with supplies, in the midst of the famine, in the midst of the economic devastation that the entire world was experiencing. Joseph was the same one that the Lord used to supply those needs of his brethren. Joseph was the one that the Lord used to meet the needs in the lives of his family. That's the same way Jesus is the Lord over the storehouse of heaven. I'm getting ready to close my teaching tonight, and I'm just feeling the power and the presence of God so strong. Wherever you are tonight, beloved, wherever you are, if you are a child of God, if you are a child of covenant, I want you to know, when you came into relationship with Christ Jesus, that day, he took responsibility for every area of our lives. The needs, the lack, the insufficiency, the poverty we often feel and experience, that's not a part of his plan. He wants to take responsibility for every need in our lives. Just like Joseph took responsibility for every need in the lives of his brethren and his father's household in Genesis 45, he settled them in the land of Goshen. I want you to know God wants to settle you in your Goshen. Feel the power and the spirit of God. I don't know who the Lord is having me speak this word to tonight. But I want you to know that wherever you are, no matter what your experience has been, God wants to bring you to your Goshen. He has Goshen prepared for you. Oh, I'm so excited about these teachings Because the Lord is going to use them to give us a roadmap to arrive at our Goshen. I want you to know, wherever you are in the world, God wants to take full responsibility for every need in your life. And as we walk the road, as we take the steps that He shows us, as we follow His lead and follow His guidance, as we obey His word, His instructions, His direction, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, as we give Him first place, as we give Him full preeminence in our lives, as we allow Him to take His place, as we allow our covenant with Him to come into full manifestation, the Lord will take us to Goshen. I smell Goshen just around the corner for you. I smell the blossoming flowers in your Goshen. I can sense the riches, the abundance that's awaiting you in your Goshen. I want to leave you tonight with that encouraging word. Be confident. Be sure. Be excited. Be ecstatic. Your Goshen is just around the corner. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen to this? Come on, say amen. Close your eyes and thank God. Thank God for His commitment to you. Praise God for His faithfulness. Praise God for the Goshen that has been prepared for you. Bless His name. Bless His name. Come on tonight, wherever you are, let's get in the Spirit together. Let's bless the name of our God together. Thank you, Father, for every provision that you have made. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into Goshen. Thank you, Lord, for preparing a place of abundance for us. Thank you, Lord. 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 We give you the glory. We give you the praise. Thank you, Father. Now thank Him for the abundance that He has prepared for your future. Now thank Him. Now thank Him wherever you are, whatever your experience is today. Thank every need in your life. Thank Him. He's the unchanging changer. Thank Him. Everything will change. Everything will change, but God will remain the same. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Father, I bless your name tonight. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your blessing over our service tonight. Thank you, God, for the power in your word. Thank you, God, for illumination that you gave us. Thank you, Father, for understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the revelation we have received. We're so excited about your word. We're so excited about it. Now fulfill that which you have spoken. I speak, Father, to everyone under the sound of my voice, all my brothers and all my sisters, young people, older people, wherever they are, all over the world, in the name of Jesus, I declare that the same anointing of the Holy Spirit that was with Paul in the prison, that supplied every need that he had, the same anointing that is right here in this studio with us tonight, that is supplying satisfying every need that we have. That same anointing will bust through every limitation, every hindrance, will break through and give you the breakthrough that you long for in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen.